NADA Week is here in New Orleans. Welcome to the Inside Track presented by Call Review. Today's guest is Jake Hales of Gee Automotive. Are you using video? Is it time to use video? Are you reluctant? Have you just started your journey? Listen, NADA is a great time to start incorporating video into your daily routine. Jake is an amazing resource to talk about video, specifically as it pertains to the automotive industry. I couldn't have enjoyed it more. Listen, it's time. We've got to do this. Put the camera on. You have a lot to say, and it is going to make your bottom line better. And Jake will tell you in real talk how you do that. So let's get to it, shall we? All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Inside Track, presented by Call Review. I'm your host, Kurt Larson. Of course, joining me as always is Eric Glass. We got a great topic today and a great guest. We're very excited to have him. We have Jake Hales, Digital Operations Manager at Gee Automotive. Jake, we met at the Drive-Centric event in the fall, and Eric and I, obviously being, you know, more from the creative field into video, we fell in love with you right away and your very sensible message about video, how to use it, why we should be using it. And we thought, what a better guest to have the week of NADA coming into it than you to talk about how dealerships can be using video, why they should be using it, which, Jake, I don't know if you feel this way. I can't even believe we're still having this conversation in 2025, why you need to use video. And then maybe some, you know, some tips out there, some things they can do on the floor this week or just in general. But what I wanted to ask you, what I didn't get from you, just because we didn't get enough time together, is where does this journey start for you? Like the digital journey, the video journey, was this something you were interested in before taking it on? Or did you have to, you know, force yourself into it or get accustomed to it? Where does it start for you?
It goes back a long time for me. And I was in the dealership at the time, and somebody started emailing weird leads in to the dealership. This was a long time ago. I started selling cars in 99. Okay. And so we started to see these emails come in. A lot of them were kids kicking tires. But you know, the dealership was, hey, you want to start looking at this thing? And next thing you know, you're starting to having to teach the sales managers how to turn computers on.
I feel like we still have to do that. It's with some managers these days.
There is some truth to that, unfortunately. And then my life took a little bit of a turn, and I left the dealership, ended up going into the advertising space, and was actually at a newspaper. The newspaper, I couldn't sell newspaper ads for my life, but I could sell a lot of cars.com ads. I got pretty good at that, and Auto Trader came recruiting me. And so I spent 11 years with Auto Trader in their major accounts division, And so that's kind of the impetus of my digital life. And then started going into more of the consulting roles, stopped selling advertising per se, and more consulted with my clients, and realized very quickly that stores that utilize video in some way, shape, or form just perform better. And certainly individual salespeople did. And if you were an individual and you wanted to, you know, hit those 25 car plus months, you had to do something special. And a lot of those folks were doing video.
And did you, when you started to use it yourself, presumably, were you, because I hear from people all the time, Eric and I hear from people, I'm not comfortable. I don't know what to do. What, how do I do this? Were you comfortable in the beginning?
No, of course, nobody's comfortable.
Okay, so that's good. So how did you get comfortable?
Practice, man. I mean, what do you want to say? It's like, well, in public speaking and video for me kind of went hand in hand. I wanted to be a proficient public speaker. I started reading on presentation skills, that type of thing. How do you present yourself? How do you practice your voice? How do you posturize yourself? And all of those are sales tactics too, right? So it all goes hand in hand. Can you stand in front of a video? Is not that much different than standing in front of a customer or standing in front of an audience and being professional in front of that audience. And all of those things overlap. So a good salesperson should technically be pretty good at video. They should technically be pretty good at presentations. And then it's just, you know, the repetitions, right? And the only way to get over to any kind of discomfort is repetition, is just doing it over and over again. And I think the hardest thing, I think what keeps good video and presentation people from great video and presentation people, and it goes the same thing with phone skills, is can you listen and watch yourself? And can you critique yourself effectively? Because some people can critique themselves and basically get depressed. They shut themselves down because, oh, I'm so bad at everything, I can't do that. No, you have to actually get skilled at self-critique, which means, okay, I did that really well. I'm going to keep doing that. But this is an area I suck at, or a bad habit I have. I say too much. I say like too much. I need to be able to pick those things and practice those things. And that's kind of the separation between good and great.
Mine is right. You know what I'm talking about? Right.
That's right.
You get there? Right. Yeah, you understand, right? Yep. There we go. That's mine.
We all have ticks. I would also, as I say, right there. Thank you for putting that on cue for me. I also, you know, want to add on to that. I feel like people got to be good at self-critiquing. I agree with that. Also, if you work at a large company or dealership, seek someone out that's good at it. Ask them in confidence, like, hey, you know, can you give us some tips? How does this work? How can I get better at this? But the reluctance to do so often baffles me. Like, as we talked about, it's 2025. You got to hit record. You're going to do it. Listen, the toothpaste is out. It's not going back in. It's not going away. I know you're a big proponent. We had a little email exchange where you said, why email sucks. I would like you... So expound on that. Why does email suck, and why are we still using it in the ways we are today? And why should they move to video if they can?
You know, so I practice with all kinds of different ways to get dealerships to start using video. And I would promote why video works so well. I would talk about, and I still track to this day, what the profit difference is between, you know, interactions that include video and those that aren't. I track all that stuff. But it doesn't connect with salespeople. It really doesn't. And honestly, it doesn't connect with sales managers either, because most sales managers were salespeople. And so the message that is effective is that message, is that email sucks. Because we might not talk about it at the dealership, but everybody knows it's the truth. And you don't have to go any further than to look at how many unread emails you have in your inbox right now. And just to give you an idea, I'll be transparent with you. I have 805. Now I tell iOS to only give me 3 days of mail.
Oh,
I have 805 unread messages right now. How many of those do you think I'm really going to read?
Zero.
Probably
closer to 10 to 15, because a lot of those are from my boss.
Well, we didn't factor that in, Jake.
But think about this, right? I'm using now AI to prioritize my email. You know, if you're a Gmail user, you've had it for a long time. All the promotions and spam stuff gets filtered out. It brings the, you know, the stuff you most interact with to the top. Mm-hmm. Well, how many customers are on Gmail? Outlook just now has a pretty good set of AI tools that are bringing your prioritized mail to the top. And so how quick is it if you're a dealership salesperson communicating with a customer, how quickly does those communications that are basically worthless get pushed down in their inbox?
Yeah.
So you have to do something different, because these email boxes are just too busy. It sucks. And that's the best way to put it. Email sucks. But think about what's happening in these dealership CRMs. The CRM is telling you, go do something. And what do you think the salesperson chooses to do?
Email.
The lowest hanging, most non-confrontational piece of communication, email. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's non-confrontational is because nobody freaking reads it.
Right.
So, you know, last few years, I've been going through with our stores trying to eliminate email tasks from the CRM. I don't want them doing email at all. I'll let our AI do a little bit of email with customers, because occasionally it works. But I don't want human capital. I don't want people that we invest, you know, their growth, we invest financially, we invest their time, most importantly, into stuff that doesn't work. That's pointless. And when you start explaining that to store and store management, you see their eyes light up. They get it. Because all of a sudden they go, well, yeah, the biggest problem I have with my customers is they won't respond to me. And the reason they're not responding to you is, A, you're not sending them in a media form that they care about. And A, when you do send them something, it's usually pretty crappy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was going to ask you is, are you still seeing a blowback when you present the data that shows, you know, without question, you can get more sales, more revenue, more customer loyalty if you do video? Are there still, you know, dealerships that are like, yeah, but I don't want to do that? Does that still happen? Like, I don't want to do video. I'll just
email. That's sure. It's human. It's human nature. I don't blame anybody for it. I mean, present anybody anywhere a whole set of facts. See how much of that lands.
Fair enough. So let's start with this.
Kurt, I was going to ask real quick. How are you seeing, and this might be jumping a little bit ahead of where we had in the agenda, but how are you seeing in the dealerships that you're going into, especially at Gee, after you give them that data, what is the drive like to make the change and what's the success been like?
So typically what I see, and it's a good question. It's a good question. Typically what I see is if I'm going in for my first time or my first time in a long time, and I give them a 1 hour session on why you should do video. I don't call it that. I call it sales tactics because it is sales tactics. Mm-hmm. And I don't want them to know that I'm going to bombard them with video before they come in.
Sure.
But I tell them, you know, some of the issues that I just described with email. I give them those numbers. If I've effectively delivered it, I typically see one or two salespeople just buy in, wholeheartedly buy in. And they'll tell me at the end of the session, yeah, I'm just going to do more video. I'm just going to start there. And I say, that's great. That's a great place to start. And then all of a sudden I'll get one or two people that are doing a video with every customer. And what do you think happens to their sales numbers? It's kind of shocking. They'll go from an 8-car person to a 12-car person. In some cases, there'll be a 14-car person that jumps to a 20-car person. So you see growth, and it's usually with one or two individuals first. And then it's funny. Everybody thinks they're cheating.
Right. They're gaming the system somehow.
All the sales guys are like, he's cheating. He's taking other people's opportunities.
Right.
Well, sometimes that's true, but the reason he's taking other people's opportunities is because people know his face or her face. And they go, oh, I saw you before. I want to work with you.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden somebody reveals to them, oh yeah, it's because they're putting their face out there. They're getting video out there. That's where they're getting their customers. I better do the same thing. Otherwise, I'm not going to make any money at this store.
And do you find, let's just stick with those one or two reps, right, that come up to you after the session. Do you find once you kind of get them to break the dam and they start using video, are you seeing that expand past the CRM and maybe now they're doing it more? And I don't know if you have this data or even something qualitative, you're seeing them more out on socials in the community using that as a way to drum up business, or are they strictly doing it through the CRM? And I know you guys use DriveCentric.
There's an age gate there, I think.
Okay.
It's a really good question. And honestly, I wish I had a little bit more information on it too. But you know, I have access to our social media channels, and you know, occasionally see somebody asking to get on a social media channel and activate that. But I think it's age gated. So I'll see generally people that are on the young end of millennial, that are nearly Z's, kind of that Z to millennial gap, see it very consistently with alphas. It's interesting. Alphas that are just now aging in, right? They're 18-year-olds. Oftentimes they already have existing social media channels and they easily go into video because they're already doing it on a daily basis. But generally speaking, that Z to millennial age gate is where I'm seeing people that, okay, they start doing video and they go, well, why wouldn't I do this on my social media channels too? So I hope that answers your question, but I haven't seen it with us older guys.
It doesn't. I was more, and then my follow up to that is knowing, and that's kind of where I was going with the alpha and the zennial and that generation who have, I think about my 14-year-old, right? She's watching video all day. And the only thing she watches is influencers all day long. That's where she gets all of her news. That's where she gets her trends, everything. She doesn't watch TV like Kurt did. Like I remember growing up and it was like Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, Spider-Man, X-Men, Power Rangers, Batman. Now it's and then my middle son is like, oh, I'm going to go watch Cypher PK and stuff like that. So with those coming in and the kids who have the socials, and they have these followings that maybe they're bringing into the dealership. There is a question here, I promise. Are the GMs hesitant to embrace that, knowing that's kind of what the younger kids and the younger sales kids are doing? Do you find more GMs saying, "Yeah, let's embrace this, let's see what happens," or "No, this is our sales playbook. You're not allowed to do that."
That depends completely on their experience. So example, we've had cases, unfortunately, where we've had influencers come to the store and the influencers blew us up, you know, but we've had the opposite happen too. An influencer comes in and all of a sudden we get a burst of sales because we had somebody with 2 million followers say that they had a great experience. Then you'll have cases where, you know, general managers, have had to terminate associates because they did something unprofessional on social media. So I think your question is completely dependent on the experience of the general manager and how much they feel like they have to clamp down on things to keep control over it. Because there's a certain amount of risk involved with the social medias. And you take young people that it's funny. Because what I see is young people that are very good at watching videos. And oftentimes they can translate into standing in front of the camera and turning something into that. But what I don't often see is people that take that skill and can turn it into an actual interpersonal communication. And I'll give you an example of this. So I was talking to a guy, a friend of mine. Actually works with my wife, and I was asking him, he does a lot of music stuff and he tries to put bands together. He does a lot of private lessons, all this stuff. And I said, well, with all these, you know, kids doing music on YouTube, isn't it easy to find really high quality musicians anymore? And he goes, Jake, you know, it's really interesting. These guys are really good at getting on camera, sometimes getting on camera live and playing their music effectively. But when you put them in an ensemble, they can't play with other musicians. And that struck me. It's like, oh, no, that makes a lot of sense. They're not practiced at being with other people because there's so many other things going on. And so a lot of the teaching that I have to do now at our dealerships is how do you actually communicate face-to-face with people. And you're laughing, but...
Why? No, it tracks. On one hand, you have an older generation, you've got to teach them how to talk on camera, and then the inverse is true.
Correct, yeah. It's hilarious that you bring that up, because I can't remember who wrote it, but I literally just read a blog about this, about how these younger kids are coming into the workforce, and they just come... They show the story in there was this kid just showed up on his first day to a banking job in sweatpants and a hoodie, thinking that the bank would give them the clothes. And he was immediately, now the bank manager coached, and the moral story was he got the kid on the right track, but he sent the kid home to get clothes on, and the kid didn't have anything because he wasn't prepared. Right. And it's really funny to think about that, you know, especially as in Kurt, I know you're raising kids and I've got young kids, and, you know, I'm like, I'm very much like, my son wants to be a professional streamer. But I'm like, that's great. But you still have this right here, and meeting people, especially in our industry, like that is always going to be the ultimate, like whoever can meet, do, go bridge this gap. Like you're teaching Jake from, I'm going to talk to you on camera all day long. And then you're going to come in and I'm going to put my hand in your hand and shake your hand. And that's, those are going to be the kids that win. So that's super funny. All right, Kurt, I'm sorry. I'm done.
No, no, I agree. But also I think, you know, I think somebody on video, if they're the same in person, authenticity is still going to win to the point mm-hmm. of what you're saying. Right. So yep. I always try and get, you know, obviously I'm older. Look at this bright white hair. I'm like the White Walker from Game of Thrones.
I don't know why you keep saying that.
I'm always trying to get older people to do more on social media, knowing A, usually, I want to say that again, usually they're trustworthy, and B, there is a space for them to be influencers and to create sales rather than find sales.
So if just to clarify, people on social media are trustworthy or older people are trustworthy?
I'm saying I think older people generally can be more trustworthy on social media. Some of the things Jake was talking about that have come up and, you know, been awry, where if you've been around for 30 years, maybe you know how to stay away from the minefields a little bit more. I'm trying to get older people to get on camera more
sure.
because their expertise, and if they can be authentic, get out of your head that it's a problem. It's actually, we're desperate for people out there because everyone's on their phone. I don't care if you're 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, everyone is on their phone. It's not just people in their 20s. You know, I used to work at a restaurant a long time ago, and I convinced the owner, he was spending all this money on print advertising, like, you know, mailbox print advertising, decently high-end restaurant. And I finally said to him, I'm not going to say his name, I'll make up his name. I was like, Bob, look around. It was a Saturday night. Everyone's on their phone. Why are you spending the money there? Give me the socials. I'll just do it. You don't even need to pay me much. I'll show you how to do it. And it was like a light bulb went off. Like you said, Jake, like he realized, like, you're right. No one's looking at these mailbox, you know, mail order advertisements. So I try to get people to do it more. When you're talking to folks about, you know, using the power of video, where do you tell them to start? What do you tell them to do? Just take out your phone, record it. Are there certain apps you tell them to use? Are there certain platforms? Or do you just tell them basically just start responding to emails, you know, via your phone, just do it that way.
To your point, Kurt, everybody is on their phone. And so generally speaking, I'm not saying there is an exception, there always is. Generally speaking, you can open up your camera app and you can figure out how to do the video on your camera app. And I've been in this business long enough and I've been working with vendors long enough and doing integrations long enough to know that unfamiliarity with software can be a barrier to entry. Okay, so if you're trying to get somebody to start on a fresh app, that's probably not the way to go. You want to start with familiar. So you just start with your own phone's camera app and you start your video there. And then you just need to start doing something. And I teach to speak to something that you're good at already. So obviously in the car business, you know, it's like, you know, I remember one of our sales gals, she knew the color code for every Subaru. The color codes. She knew the 5-digit codes that went to each. She had all that stuff memorized, and she could talk color, and she talked really passionately about color. And so she did. She got on the camera and said, hey, this this vehicle is brave white or whatever colors they have, you know, the forest green, but they have all these fancy names for the OEM colors. She had them memorized. She talked mm-hmm. through them and she says, well, you can get this with the tan seating and you can get this with gray seating. She would roll through all that stuff and she would do that in her presentations with customers. And so it wasn't much of a leap for her to start talking about that when she's sending videos to customers. And I say that just to say, if you're good or you're passionate about something, start there. Start talking about that. And by the way, your delivery does not have to start good.
Right.
It just has to be genuine.
Yep. Yep.
And so we have 72-year-olds, 75-year-olds in some cases that start on camera and they're pretty wooden. Mm-hmm. But because it's a one-to-one video, one being the salesperson going to a single customer, and it's just like us talking here, that genuine, hey, I want to talk to you about this car, it comes off honest. And what do you give for good honesty these days? Right?
Yeah.
And that genuineness, that honesty, and the comments that you'll see come back on these videos is, this was like working with my grandpa.
Right. Right.
Beautiful.
That's it.
That's it. So just be you, be genuine, talk about something that you're comfortable talking about, and then it will grow as you get repetition.
All right, I'm going to ask a tough question. There's no way to quantify this. And I'm just curious, in your experience, you know, you've done this for decades. How often does it come down to, and I want to explain a little bit, how often does it come down to personality type? And I don't mean typical extroverted versus introverted. I mean a willingness of a salesperson or a professional to be open-minded and to change and to tackle new things. How often is it personality type? Look, like you said, some people, they're willing to change, they're open-minded, but then there's another set of people, they're just not, it's nothing's going to make them do that. How often is that the true barrier of whether they're going to try video or not?
Yeah, I think you're onto something really, really good there, but it's not, I wouldn't say it's personality. I think you can have just about, because I have had the shyest, most introverted individual, but I've seen those really quiet, you know, internal personality types get on camera, become a different person, and really be able to connect with people. Mm-hmm. And then you have the A type personalities that you would think would be awesome on camera,
right?
If they were willing to pick the camera up and shoot with it,
right?
So it's not personality. In my opinion, it's not personality. What it is the cause of stupidity. You guys know what the cause of stupidity is. The cause of stupidity, and I teach this. I will bring this in the classrooms.
Okay.
And I will start with this. And I will ask the audience the same thing. What is the cause of stupidity? And the answer is certainty. You are absolutely sure that you're right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That is the cause of stupidity. And when you're absolutely certain that you're right, you can't change anymore. You can't accept new ideas.
Right.
And all of a sudden, in a world that's trying to feed you information that backs up that you're right, causing this thing called confirmation bias, you all of a sudden have no contrarianism to your own beliefs. Mm-hmm. And you could find that in the world today. And it causes you again to become static and not change and not grow. And so, you know, whatever your personality type, if you're out there and you're saying to yourself, how do I get better today? You will find answers.
And you're more likely to pick up the cameras is what I'd say, because you're looking for, especially when you present the evidence. All right, NADA is coming up. How do you go about it? What is your going to be your footprint, you know, digitally? What do you plan on doing? Do you do a lot of podcasts? Do you do a lot of interviews? Do you do videos for yourself that you later use? What's the Jake Hale strategy going into NADA?
To learn, my first thing is what am I missing? What am I doing wrong? What is somebody else doing that I could be doing better? And I apply that not just personally, but to the group as well. You know, what is the Ghee Automotive Group missing? Is there something that we should be doing? Is there something that I need to be keeping an eye on? So I'm looking for those vendors that might be doing something cutting edge. And it seems like every other year or so, somebody comes in and they're doing something really different. And right. And I have to at least keep my eye on it to see if it's something that's going to grow. You know, I have hopefully hundreds of conversations with other dealers. And some of those conversations are going to lead to great ideas. And then, you know, it seems like every NADA I've ever been to, you just connect with somebody. You end up spending a couple hours with that. You go to a couple of the after parties with those people, and you're just picking their brain the whole time. And I've had those relationships coalesce and then drive behavior change for the entire auto group. But from your earlier question, like what's the strategy going in? I do have a plan. I do have some meetings set. There's certain things I want to look at, but I almost guaranteed as soon as I walk in those doors, something's going to distract me and I'll probably be off course and off to the races.
So fluid, you got to be fluid. How do you balance, I guess, how do you balance creativity with strategy? You know, when you're creating video content for, you know, Gi Automotive or whatnot, how do you balance the two? What videos are working best for you? Generally speaking, it doesn't have to be NADA related, just in general. Is it walk-arounds? Is it behind the scenes? Is it just testimonials? Is it just one-on-one? What gets you excited? How about that?
It's connection. And I know that's a broad term.
No.
But it's, do you understand who's buying your product? Mm-hmm. And do you have a means to connecting with those people? I've seen some great ideas out there and some great innovation out there, but they don't necessarily connect.
Okay. And what do you mean by that? What that like looks cool, but it doesn't have the personal touch.
Yeah. I don't know if it stands out enough. I mean, it's kind of the difference between, you know, whether or not we're talking about one-to-one videos,
okay,
which we do a ton of. We do roughly 50,000 one-to-one videos every quarter with our group. So we do a lot of one-to-one videos. And I see the most successful ones of those are the ones where we're being very relevant to the customer. We're being specific. We're addressing any question that they brought up. But we're doing things like, hey, Mr. Customer, I want to let you know we received information from Auto Trader that you are interested in this car. I want to let you know this car is here. It's available. It's ready for you. Would you let me know if this is what you were interested in? So I'm being very direct in telling them where the customer came from. I'm basically honoring the customer's work in their shopping, and I'm repeating that to them. And so with those kind of messagings, I'm trying to be direct with them. And if you're talking more from a marketing standpoint, mm-hmm. The videos that I see get a lot of attention are the ones that are kind of themed to what's going around in the messaging around that message. And what I mean by that is some of our highest performing TikTok and Reels videos are natural to the theme of the scroll.
Okay.
In other words, let's say one of our best performing videos is one of our salespeople dancing in front of the cars.
Yeah.
She doesn't say a word.
Right.
She's just doing one of these crazy, you know, Fortnite dances in front of the cars. The hashtags were right. So you're getting into the flip stream of that type of content and you're putting a car in front of those customers. Now, I have no idea if that sold any cars.
We can't measure that.
Can't measure that. I do know it got a lot of likes and it got a lot of visuals.
Sure.
And you got to
measure it yet.
Yeah. So we'll get there maybe eventually, particularly if there's no privacy laws over the next 40 years. But, you know, at any rate, I hope that's an answer to your question.
Yeah.
I think you have to connect with that audience. And I think a lot of stores don't know who their audience is.
Right.
So I got a quick follow-up question, Kurt, on the 50,000 videos a quarter. Are you guys, is that more, I know you're doing one-to-one, right? Is that following up with a video message or are these live calls that you're doing?
No, it's following up with a video message.
Okay.
I still think live calls is a very small percentage. It happens. But I think there's a comfort level with that, both for the salesperson and for
right.
the customer. So where I see live calls happening the most is if we're doing a video appraisal of the customer's trade. That's where I see those the most.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see them occasionally where, hey, why don't I just walk you out to the car and I'll show you.
Right.
So I see a few of those, but it's probably still in the 1-2%
wow.
category of
interesting.
What happens. Yeah. But we're in the, let's say, 80% category overall of customers receiving a video from us as a corporation.
Sure.
That's tremendous. I'm not just making this up. I had this happen today. I had a water heater situation I needed it taken care of. And they sent me like the nicest video with the nicest guy. Like, hey, Kurt, I got your information. I'm on your way. I'll be there in about 24 minutes. And cool. I was like, I'm not making this up. This is literally just happened. And I'm like, I turned to my wife. I'm like, I think I like this company. I think we should probably stick with them. Like,
Well, Kurt, it's more, you think about how long I've been in Jake, you and I talked about this a little bit in St. Louis is, you know, I didn't come from the car industry. I come from the SaaS industry, right? I've been doing SaaS demand gen for the last 20 years. And even to get our salespeople at the company Kurt and I were at before this to go on video and send a message to a customer, you would think that I just shot their dog to ask them that. And it's even in this, we worked for a video company and we couldn't get our video.
Yeah.
We couldn't get people to send video. Now we have a couple sales reps here that Kurt and I have kind of talked about this a little bit with, that are starting to see some fruits of like sending a message after a demo or like after they send a proposal, like, hey, if you have any questions, reach out to me. And they're actually starting to see some of the stuff there. Anyway, Kurt, I know we don't have too much time left. I don't know where you want to go with the agenda here. So.
No, I think this was great and very helpful because, you know, as always, when we met you, Jake, you're so succinct with your message. You just do it in a way that's easy to digest. It's all very corporate of me to say it, but it's easy to understand. Email sucks. Use video. It's not that hard. Don't overthink it. Be yourself and, you know, just try it and see the results you might get. And it doesn't matter whether you're automotive or not. All companies could learn from this, even water heater companies, apparently. I'm looking forward to NADA. It's my first experience there. I'm interested to see how salespeople, not just our team, but across the floor use video or if people are using video. I don't know what to expect, but you know, I would say if I had one last question, it would be, you know, what advice, you know, what's the one thing you would tell a dealership who's reluctant to use video? What's the last thing you would tell them or what's the one thing you would tell them to do? I mean, I think we've pretty much covered it, but we'll end on that button.
So I had this conversation with a dealer yesterday, so it's really fresh on my mind. And I asked that dealer, I said, is AI communication going to go up or down over the next 10 years? Mm-hmm. Up, right? We all agree with that.
Of course.
I mean, we're already on the threshold. I mean, it's happening now with my kids. They're watching YouTube videos, and they're starting to be able to pick out which YouTube videos were made by AI and which aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So what is going to happen to the demand on interpersonal human video interactions versus AI over that period?
Mm-hmm.
The supply is going to go down without question because we're going to have all these videos that are AI produced videos flood the market, and the demand, because of the supply, is going to shrink. The demand on interpersonal human interaction, genuine human interactions, is going to skyrocket. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know where the market is. Well, the market is going to be in kids finally turning off their phones and demanding to have a face-to-face interaction with another human being.
Yep.
And adults do the same thing.
I agree. Jake, can't thank you enough for taking the time. I look forward to seeing you in NADA. It's a pleasure as always. Eric, it's great. You're here too. Thank you. I appreciate it, sir.
Hang out or comment in every now and then.
Until then, we'll see you on up the road. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, guys.